Tonight, I want to share a message. It'd be the second message in regard to four levels of spiritual warfare. These are not the only possible categories that one can use to describe the activity of Satan, but he's well organized. And so these four levels, last week we looked at the cosmic level, which were the spirits that Satan assigns to the entire world. And we had time to look at the Babylon system, the Babylonian system, and the Babylonian spirit. And so tonight we want to look at the second part of that cosmic level spirit. By the way, there below cosmic level, there is the occult level. We defined that. I'll get into that a little later. The cosmic level is over the entire world. The occult level is over nations and also smaller territories, states, regions. In other words, the entire world is broken down by the enemy, and you have occult level spirits that are kind of subordinate underneath the cosmic level spirits. The two cosmic level spirits that are the most powerful are Babylon and the Antichrist spirit. I'll be dealing with the Antichrist spirit next, and what the scripture says about that. Then we will later deal with the last two levels, where there is more direct demonic activity against individuals on the earth. Because there are two levels, the earth level and the personal level, where demonic powers attack individuals on the earth. Really, the whole theme of history is the struggle between the kingdom of Satan, the dark kingdom, versus God's kingdom, the kingdom of light. So all history and everything that happens down here is real. I mean, it happens. We have things on the earth, a political realm, an economic realm, a social realm, all of those things happen. But you have up above that, in the heavenlies, the battle between the two kingdoms, the kingdom of Satan, the dark kingdom, and the kingdom of God. So tonight we want to concentrate first on the second part of that spirit, that cosmic level spirit. This comes from the Greek word cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S, which we translate world in English, and we think of the world in a material sense. But really, it's the Greek word cosmos means a system and an order of things governed by Satan and demonic powers underneath him that have ultimate spiritual control control from the top down all of these political kingdoms, our economic systems. And we can only come free of that as we come into Christ, because only where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where the Spirit of Liberty is. And the Spirit of Liberty brings liberty and freedom spiritually, politically, economically, and in every area, socially, in every area of life. It's Christ that sets us free. It's not just free spiritually. I didn't realize this for many years of my Christian life. In fact, I taught history at Asbury College for 37 years. I taught history in other places for 11, so I taught history for 48 years. Mm-hmm. Not realizing for many years of that time that when I was speaking of political freedom or economic freedom, that really comes from spiritual freedom. It comes from the freedom that Christ can give. He is the only truth. He is the only freedom. He is the way, the truth, and the life. All right, let's look then at the Antichrist spirit. Now, this Antichrist spirit is a spirit literally anti who Jesus Christ is. Antichrist. And Christ is the Word become flesh, therefore, this spirit is anti the Word of God. It's not by accident that in America, beginning with the prayer decision in 1962, Engel versus Vitale, that the court for the first time ruled that first the prayer and then later Bible reading was unconstitutional. Now, there is no way that our founders, who were mostly Christian, intended the First Amendment to do that. That was written into it, and there is an Antichrist spirit behind that. Most people who come under the spirit don't know they are under such a spirit. But they hate the Word of God, or they are, if they don't hate it, they are opposed to the Word of God. And here is a key. Here is a key to the Antichrist system. It is always a system where there is an attempt to create a one-world empire under a one-world government to solve all problems, economic problems, political problems. In fact, when they created the Tower of Babel, that's exactly why God judged them and scattered them throughout the world and scattered their language. Because they said in Genesis, there is nothing impossible that man can do. Really, this Antichrist spirit is faith in man, not faith in God. And faith in what man can accomplish. And faith in what man can accomplish through government. But not so much local government, and not even, although this operates in national governments, because national governments today, the spirit is operating to get them prepared so that they will accept a worldwide control. What are they talking about in Washington today, yesterday? They're talking about a system where there will be a world control over currency, a world control over credit. Now, that's coming, and that will occur when the Antichrist is actually revealed, because he will forbid to buy and sell. No one in the world will be able to buy and sell, except with the number. 666 is the number in Revelation. 6 is the number for man, and you triple it. 7 is the number for God, and there will be a sevenfold spirit, where there is a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. So, this Antichrist spirit is a spirit which claims it will bring unity, world peace. It will solve all man's problems through a great world government. Watch now. A lot of Christians are going to be deceived because the Antichrist will come as a man of peace and claim to bring peace. And it will look like that's what's going to happen. Isaiah, Jeremiah both say, peace, peace. They cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. In fact, the world peace sign, which, well, I can't draw it here, but it is actually a cross of Christ that has, the arms have been broken. Here's the other part of the card of the cross, and the arms have been broken, and then there's a circle drawn around it, and it's the world's peace sign. Caesar Augustus, when he dedicated an altar to peace in 9 AD, this was one of the signs. It's false peace, military forced peace through political military means. It's false peace. Christ is the only Prince of Peace. He is the only one who will bring peace. And remember, peace means literally unity, oneness. Oneness with God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Oneness with who you are created to be, and you will never know who you were created to be unless you come into unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then when you do, you need to ask God and read the Word so that you will begin to know why you were created. Every person in the world, billions of people created, every single person created uniquely to have a certain place in God's construction of His kingdom. And then, when we are at peace with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and peace with who God made us to be, then we can have peace with each other. But the Antichrist system teaches that man is not fallen. Well, see, if man is not fallen, then Jesus died in vain. But man is fallen. Adam and Eve sinned. The Antichrist spirit denies that there is any sin. It's all relative. Moral values are all relative. Truth is all relative. That's the Antichrist spirit. It's taught in all of our schools today. It's taught in all of our colleges and universities. You don't realize. I don't have time to tell you. I'm going to give you some things here about Christ here in the list. But I mean, you don't realize how many things today that are taught both in the public school system and in the university college system of America that are preparing the way for the acceptance of the Antichrist spirit. And the Antichrist eventually himself. to be worshipped. Who is the one, supposedly, who will solve all of our problems? Now, turn with me to 1 John 2 and verse 15. Because I want to look at a number of verses here and then verse in chapter 4. But 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world. Now, that's cosmos. The Greek word is cosmos. Whenever you see world here in this chapter, the Greek word is cosmos. I defined that last week, but let me say once again, and I mentioned it a minute ago, but let me say again. This is a system and an order of things where Satan is the government ruler. John 12, 31. Satan is the ruler of this cosmos. And that world system is all of the values, all of the things that are taught are anti what the Bible teaches. Now, there's a lot of deception here because they will pick out certain things in the Bible that will sound biblical and sound Christian. And unless you know the Word, and unless the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, because He is the only one who brings truth, the truth of Christ has come from the Holy Spirit only. And you see, if you're in the world, people pick out certain things. One of the candidates in this election was asked a few years ago, is Jesus the only way? The scripture says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. And he was asked, is Jesus the only way? Well, he said, if you understand, I have the text of this, if you understand that there are other religions who also can find the way to God. And so he was really denying that Christ is the only way. That's an Antichrist spirit. It is an Antichrist spirit which denies that Christ is the only way because he is the only way. That's the truth. I mean, there are many things that are not a matter of opinion. There is either truth or error and falsehood. Do not love this world because this world is controlled by the enemy. The only way you can come out, I said this a minute ago, the only way you could come out from under that is if you have elected people who know Christ and they are doing the actual governing. And the people also are moral because normally whoever is elected in a governmental system is, if you have an immoral person elected in a democratic system, that means most of the people are immoral. I mean, if people are moral according to God's law and they have the leading of the Holy Spirit, they are going to have a sense of the truth of what a man speaks and whether a man is speaking what is true and whether a man is speaking something that is consistent with the Word of God. Because only when you speak those things consistent with the Word of God will you be free yourself or will you have rulers over you that will bring freedom. So do not love this world, this cosmos, nor the things, notice, nor the things in this cosmos. Don't get all wrapped up. All of us tend to do this. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. I have to allow the Holy Spirit. We have to allow. We Americans have so many of the things, of the toys of the world, that it's so easy for us to get wrapped up. I'm talking about myself. I'm not just talking about you. It's easy for any of us to get wrapped up not only in the world system and its values, but the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, we are not to love the world. We are to love the people in the world. It's human beings we are to love. Because Satan doesn't love them. He's trying to bring them under control, ultimately to bring them into destruction and death. That's his purpose. That's the purpose of the Antichrist system. To be in love with death and to bring people into destruction and death. So, if anyone loves this world and its values, other than which are opposed to the Christ and to the Word of God, then the love of the Father is not in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, what's the flesh? Well, it's this. It's my bodily desires. And we all know that bodily desires, if they control us, that's not of God. But what we sometimes don't realize is that the flesh in the scripture really also really refers to the soulish part of us. Because we have flesh, and we have a body, but we have a soul. Then we also have a spirit. In a Western world, and in America, we don't often separate between the soul and the spirit, but it's very important to do so. Because when God created, he took the dust of the ground, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit, the Hebrew word is nephesh, the Holy Spirit hit the dust. Then man became a living soul. The soul is the seat of the will, the mind, and the emotions. But you see, we can sin with our will, with our mind, and emotionally. We need to allow the emotions, the character of Christ, his perfect love to flow through us. And even after we're saved and filled with the Spirit, we sometimes don't allow his love and joy and peace and all of the fruit of his Holy Spirit to flow through us. But God wants us to. So all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the desire, the strong lust is strong desire, the desire for things that I want, for the things that cause me a pleasure, the things that are really not of God, but they are of the world, and the lust of the eyes. Listen, Proverbs says it, the eyes are never satisfied. You wonder why some people who are rich want to get more and more and more and more. It's the lust of the eyes. The eyes are never satisfied. And the eyes represent that lust of things that are essential to life on this earth. You see, the physical things and the material things, are food, for example, is essential to life on the earth. But if we get our eyes and our minds concentrating on this, it can separate us from the love of God. It can separate us because this is a part of the world system. And then the boastful pride of life. And what does that phrase mean, the boastful pride of life? It's not from the Father, it's from the world. The boastful pride of life means that you think things that you need are all earthly. In other words, the stability of earthly things, your investments, you're going to be able to provide for yourself. You're going to be able to provide for your family. You're going to provide for security. You're going to be able to take control, and you're not going to have to worry. Well, you see, what God will allow, and in some countries, not so much in America, so far, he's going to bring that in America too. He brings people to realize they can't rely. Anything in the world is not stable. Everything in the world is changing. Everything in the world is decaying. Everything in the world is like sand, trying to grasp sand in your hand. And the more tighter you squeeze it, the more sand comes out between your fingers. Falls to the ground. You can't. The earthly things are like this. There's no stability. I don't care how much you have in a 401k. I don't care if you've got Social Security. We've got TIAA. I mean, but all of these things, if the financial system should totally collapse, see, it hasn't totally collapsed. If it should totally collapse, then we would realize that there is no stability. There is only stability in what does not change. And the only thing that does not change is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing in this world is the same. But the only reason things change and constantly change is because Adam and Eve sinned and everything began to decay and die. And even the world is under this. When Jesus comes back, not only we will be delivered, but the world will be delivered from this constant decay and change. The only reason things change is because they are not complete. And the only way we can be complete is that we are one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's no beginning and end with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Therefore, if we come into Him, there's no change. There's no we are all. That's the only stability. That's the only peace. Are you hearing? I mean, you must understand that God doesn't want us. He wants to cut us off from these things. And he will cut us off from these things. I don't like it. I've taught a lot about the Christian system in America and the constitutional system and the Declaration of Independence and all of its Christian principles. And they were good things, but we're losing them. And I believe we will not fully gain them back, because I think God is going to allow this system and all systems of man to eventually collapse, so that we can come to where we understand that only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit will give us life, will give us freedom, will give us stability, will give us peace. See, the Antichrist system lies about that. In fact, the Antichrist system is built on lie. It's built on error and lie and falsehood. Amen. This system of Christ is built on the truth, but there is only absolute truth. The world says there is relative truth. That's a myth. There's no such thing as relative truth. There can't be. If there are two or three things that people think are true, that means you've lost truth, because there can only be one thing that is true. And one thing that is true comes from the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the world is passing away, and its lusts, its desires, whether we want it or not, are these desires of the world. And of course, one way they're passing away is we get older. And we don't take anything with us. You guys are young, but you don't know whether you'll have a long life or not. I mean, this life, even if it lasts, mine's lasted for quite a long time, but it's just like the wind blows. And there goes life. It's passing away. It's lust, it's desire. But he who does the will of God abides forever. The will of God. This is the key. Jesus always did. He's the only human being. He was the one as well as divine. He's the only human being that always did the will of God. And if we will like the will of God, we've got, where do we get the will of God? Bible. Pray. Bible. That's God. And then, I'll read it again. The one who does the will of God, acts on the will of God, acts on the word of God, gets the word in, not just read it and say, oh yes, I think that's true, but acts on the will of God, he abides forever. Children, it's the last hour. Now, John wrote this in 90 AD. Well, if it's the last hour, this is eternal time. If it was the last hour in 90 AD, it must be the last minute in 2008. Days is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. One of the great problems teaching history, I've come to realize this, and knowing the Lord Jesus, I've come to realize this, and getting as old as I am, I've come to realize this, that really, the problem we have is trying, when we try to walk in faith, is we try to limit God to today. Well, it didn't happen today. I guess God didn't want to do it. I believed, and nothing happened. Oh, really? After you have believed, Hebrews says, hold fast until you receive. That holding fast may be a month, maybe a year, maybe 10 years. It may be 20 years. It may be your whole life. Because Abraham believed, and he's still getting descendants long after he died. Everything in the Word is eternal. It has no beginning and end. We've got to begin to think like this. And only the Holy Spirit will lead you to do this. Only when you're full of the Word of God and you are getting, you see, this Word getting in your mind under the control, and then getting into your heart and acting on it, this is what will cause you to abide in eternal things. And no matter what happens to you, no matter how much the enemy, no matter how much the world system appeals, you can resist it and come against it and come above it. It's the last hour. And just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, now notice this now. There are now many Antichrists, plural, who have arisen. Through world history, particularly people in government, people who have headed world empires and world governments. I could name some of them, I won't try because they're. But there's been was there an Antichrist spirit, for example, in Hitler? Absolutely, I think. Was there an Antichrist spirit in Stalin? Absolutely. Was there an Antichrist spirit in Genghis Khan? Absolutely. You can name, or Antiochus Epiphanes in the scripture, was it an Antichrist spirit? Yes. Because they were trying to do world government, control, control, control. We will solve your problems. Just vote for us. Of course, in some cases, they weren't voted for. But nevertheless, just follow us. We will provide. And we know that it is the last hour because many antichrists have arisen. I believe there was an antichrist spirit operating and is operating in the political system in America today. I don't want to talk about individuals because it would seem like I'm trying to pick out. I believe an antichrist spirit is operating in both parties. I believe it's stronger in one, but I believe it's the antichrist spirit is operating. And people who give into the governing urge. I've been in Washington. I used to take students there every year for over 20 years. And we'd stay a week and we'd hear seminars and hear senators and congressmen and Supreme Court justices and so forth and so on. I've followed a lot in politics. But Washington, you know what people say when they go to Washington? Beware of Potomac fever. Because there's no more powerful capital in the world. Because right now there's no more powerful country than the United States. I'm not sure it'll remain that way, but for this time being, it is. And there is an intoxicating idea that people get, I am at the center of power. We can really change things. We are going to change the economy. We are going to change this, change that. Really, it's a Messiah complex. It's an antichrist spirit that makes people believe that they can change things through their policies that will eliminate poverty. Beware, the antichrist system will try to do the things that God can do. Only God can eliminate poverty. Should we help the poor? Absolutely. Will by that we eliminate all poverty? No, Jesus said we'll always have the poor with us. Because no matter where the scale is, there are always people at the bottom. And by definition, wherever your scale is, the people at the bottom are poor. Can there be complete world peace? Antichrist spirit always says, we're going to have through the United Nations or the League of Nations earlier, through international organizations, we're going to have complete world peace. Have we had complete world peace? Will we have complete world peace? What did Jesus say? Matthew 24, if I read it, I've read it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. These signs, and one of them is wars and rumors of wars, right until the end. Should we try to end a conflict with a peace treaty? Yes. Will that mean that we can end all conflict? No. Only Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, can achieve. This is part of the... This is a part of the Antichrist spirit. What I'm trying to get across to you. The Antichrist spirit is abroad in the land, and you know where I think the strongest hold is today in an institution in America? I believe the strongest foothold of the Antichrist spirit is in the universities and colleges of America. And in the seminaries. And in the seminaries of America. And of the world. They went out from us, but they not really were not of us. In other words, if someone follows the spirit of the world, and is misled, they were really not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not. Or they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they are not of us. In other words, ultimately, there's going to be no middle ground. You're going to have the people of God, and you're going to have the people of the Antichrist system and Satan. And there's no going to be not anyone in between. The great apostasy is coming. And many of these people who are in the Antichrist system think they are Christians. In fact, when Christians are persecuted, when there's mass persecution of Christians in the end days, the people in the Antichrist system will think they're doing God a service. They will be totally deceived. But you have now, you and I, who are saved, filled with the Spirit, you and I have an anointing from the Holy One, from the Holy Spirit, from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit brings the Father and the Son to us, the life of the Father and the Son to us. And you all know in the Spirit, know in my heart, know from the Holy Spirit. What you know is something living, and you know. You don't have a speculation in your mind to think so, you know, in your heart. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. Because no lie is of the truth. The Antichrist system is based on lie. I cannot tell you. I couldn't even begin to tell you. The lies, I've taught history most of my life, just retired a little over a year ago. But the lies that are taught today about history are growing and growing and growing until there's very little truth left. And the average student doesn't know that. Here's a textbook. Well, it's printed. Must be true. Oh, no. And just because something is print doesn't mean it's true. I mean, you will only know the truth if Jesus is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you and speaking, and the anointing of the Spirit is on you. This is one of the reasons why you not only need to be saved, but you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, then truth can come. Who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And by the way, when it says Jesus is the Christ, that means Jesus is the Christ, and he is the one who died, and he is the one who is resurrected, and he is the one who is the right hand, and he is the one who is coming, and he is life, and he has no beginning, and he has no end. But if you deny that, any of that, this is Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. In other words, there is no way to the Father except through Jesus. If you deny Jesus as the way, you do not know the Father. Christians are weakening on this. People call themselves Christians. But you cannot be a Christian, actually, unless you know that Jesus is the only way. That's not discriminatory. That's not prejudice. That's truth. Amen. It is the only truth. Should I tell you something to make you feel better? That Jesus is not the only way, so you'll feel better, so there are many ways, when he is the only way? And if you tell people that is the only way, and you receive persecution, even unto your death, should that deter you? Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be martyrs, literally. Witnessing the truth may cost your life. It does for people in, or I've been in Vietnam, Cambodia, China. A lot of places in the world, it cost your life. See, you don't worry about that under the anointing of the Spirit. You speak the truth, because the truth will set people free. Praise God. As for you, let that abide in you. Remain. Whatever you receive from Christ, from the Word, let it abide and remain. Because Jesus is not in the business of coming in, boop, giving you a blessing, and then walking away and say, well, there you've got your healing, there you've got your deliverance, now go do what you want. No. God comes, and he stays, and he abides. And you need to have him abide and remain. What you heard from the Word of God, that's the only truth. It's the only thing that will defeat the Antichrist spirit, the Word of God, from the beginning. If that abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. And 1 John says, if you abide in the Son, you'll walk as Jesus walked. How did Jesus walk? Taking the cross. We have just as much need to take the cross daily as Jesus did, because he took the cross daily before they put him on a cross. And if we take the cross daily, we'll be persecuted. The godly shall suffer persecution. Now, 1 John 4. I mean, that gets as far as I thought I would. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved in Christ, Those John is talking to believers in Christ. Do not believe every spirit. There are spirits that are from Satan and there are spirits from the Holy Spirit. Well, I shouldn't say spirits. There is the Holy Spirit. There is the Holy Spirit who brings Jesus and the Father. And then there are spirits, plural, that are dark spirits. Do not believe every spirit. By the way, in another teaching, we talked about how to test the spirits, and we don't have time, but the Word is the most important thing. Test the spirits by the Word. Whatever is from the Holy Spirit will be consistent with the Word. Count on it. Count on it. I don't mean you'll find in the Word everything that God may speak to you, but it'll be consistent with what the Word says. And not just a verse here, a verse there. You've got to know the Bible. You've got to. The only good commentary on the Bible is the Bible.
Amen.
God showed me that a long time ago. I used to read commentaries, finally just tossed them away. Because unless a commentator is, he doesn't only have to have knowledge. He has to have the Holy Spirit. He has to be led by the Spirit of God. Because how did the Bible come? Through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's put into human language, and human language can't give you spiritual knowledge, but human language can give you intellectual knowledge, and then the Holy Spirit can make it alive so you know what the Holy Spirit is saying and what the Holy Spirit was saying to the people who received it. Don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see if they're of God. When we pray with people, if we pray with people tonight and there's a word that comes, don't believe if I speak and say, I believe God is saying this about you. Don't test that. Don't act on that. Test that. Pray until you know from the Holy Spirit himself, from God himself, before you act on it. See if they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. More false prophets, more false apostles, more false teachers all the time. And it's going to increase and increase and increase. We aren't that fearful of that. Don't be fearful about that. I've seen people, oh my goodness, I don't know. Who can I believe? I remember many years ago, one of our students who came here very regularly, and she was filled with the Spirit, and this was more than 20 years ago. And so she brought a student from campus who had heard about me and heard about this meeting. And she heard things that made her frightened. And so she was extremely frightened. And she didn't even want to come with this person even to the house. It wasn't the meeting time. And so I gave a tape to the student who was spirit-filled. And this other student was with that student. And the student who was spirit-filled said, we got back to the dorm and I was going to play it. And she wouldn't listen to it. She was afraid. See, you don't need to be afraid. Test me if I'm hearing from God. Pray. Test anyone. Test your preacher. Don't just receive what. Test them. Think of the person who you think of as the greatest Christian you know. Test. Test. Test what he says. In the Word and in prayer. Until you know in your spirit, and then you can act. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He's come in history. He's come in the flesh. He's not some spiritual ether out there. He's not some force out there. He is a person. He is the divine Son of God. I'll give you some things here. I'll have them on the overhead here in a minute. But I mean, he did die in history. He was raised from the grave on the third day. He did go after 40 days to the right hand of the Father. And he did, at the 50th day, after he had gone to the right hand of the Father, send the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost did fall in Acts chapter 2. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit began to move. And God moved through the Roman Empire and conquered. Christianity conquered the entire Roman Empire. Only by spiritual means of the greatest empire in the world, the greatest power in the world, in the Roman Empire, I believe. And Christianity conquered it. Only to be conquered, once Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, only to be conquered by government and force from top-down control, resulting in the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope and all that structure that took the power, that took the fire out of the New Testament church. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus, that he is, not just say, just that words, not just say the words, I confess Jesus. No, you believe what I just said. He did die. He was raised. He is at the right hand of the Father. He is coming again. He will establish his kingdom. It will happen in history. You know that you know. You, every spirit that does not confess that is not from God. It is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard that is in the coming and is now already in the world, in this cosmos. It is in this cosmos. It dominates this cosmos. It dominates this world system. You are from God, little children, and you have overcome. You've overcome this Antichrist spirit. You've overcome all of this if you receive Christ, the fullness of the Spirit, and then walk in the Spirit daily. And never let go of the Word. And never let go of what God makes real in your heart. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But it seems like the world is going to come in and conquer and just overcome. God comes, and we become overcomers. The greater the pressure, the greater the threat, the greater the effort of the enemy to destroy the Christian church and the people. The people of the church. The people of the church. It's people filled with the Spirit of God of the church. That's the ecclesia, the Greek word for church. The people of God, where the power of God, the life of God is in them. And Satan cannot conquer that. Praise God. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. If people don't listen to you, if they refuse to listen to you, once you've told them, wipe your feet and go to someone who will listen. Because that's one of the reasons I enjoy ministering in Russia and Kazakhstan and China and Vietnam and Cambodia. Because they've been lands that have had a hunger for the hearing word of God. And they haven't had the word of God for very long. And they hear the word of God. And they don't debate. And they don't get into theological arguments. I hate theological arguments. I won't argue theologically. I'll just tell you who Jesus is. I'll tell you what Jesus has done. I'll tell you about the life of Jesus. I'll tell you about what the life of Jesus has done. And when you tell these people, I just told you a little bit ago, I just got an article. And, you know, 30 or more pastors got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now people are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit in their churches. Now people, they told them about the divine healings. And people are getting healed. And people are being saved. And revival is beginning. The Lord told me the revival would break out in Vietnam. And I believe it will. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. And he who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, the spirit of error is part of the Antichrist system, the Babylonian system. The spirit of truth is a part of God's kingdom. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And anyone who resists the truth in the word of God is from a spirit of error. And the spirit of error is so strong that it makes people believe that error is truth and truth is error. So when people in the world persecute Christians, true Christians, they will think they were doing the world a favor. Now, the Antichrist spirit denies some things, and I did put these on the overhead. And we have the first four here. They deny that Christ is the Word become flesh. He is the living Word. Remember, this Word is not print on a paper. It's living, sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder between spirit and soul, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. It separates between spirit and soul. It is what gets in us and releases the life of God. When I was healed of cancer 30 years ago, the Word of God came into me, and the Word of God, who is Jesus, healed me. I would not be alive if it were not for the Word of God. The Word became flesh, and the Word can come in us. And the Antichrist denies it. Then they deny that Jesus is born of a virgin coming to rule and reign. But he was born of a virgin. And the archangel Gabriel came to Mary. And when Mary received that word, in Luke 1, she said, "Be it done to me according to your word." And she conceived Jesus. On the 15th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar, she conceived Jesus. When she received the word is life. Jesus was in her. She did not know a man. See, he is the Son of God and the living creator of all. He is the Son of God. He is one with the Father. He is the Son of Man and the Son of God. How can it be? But he is. I can't explain it, but he is the Son of Man. He is fully man. He is fully God. And he comes to give life. He created. Father, Son, Holy Spirit created. Jesus is creator. For he is conqueror of this Babylonian system of rebellion, darkness, and death. He is conqueror of this Babylonian system. He has already been declared the victor over the system. Don't be worried about it. Don't be worried about what's happening. Don't be worried about the collapse of the economic system, political system. Don't be worried about what's happening, where people are killed and martyred. The enemy, Satan, has tried to use physical death to destroy Christians throughout. I mean, the Roman Empire had 10 imperial persecutions. They attempted to wipe out. They were not just persecuting. They tried to wipe out the entire church. And the more they killed, the more Christians. Yeah. The more Christians there were. Because that just releases more power of God. More power, more power, more power. Five. You can go to that next. God's eternally anointed Jesus, they deny God's eternally anointed Jesus, who is Lord. I mean, he is the one who is our husband, as it were. He is the Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the one who has saved us. He is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Has no beginning, he has no end. And the old priesthood is gone. It's going now. The whole idea of priests and preachers and all the bishops and all the cardinals of all the churches and of all the denominations is going to be wiped out as unimportant, because Jesus will be the high priest. And we will be priests after the order of Melchizedek. Priesthood of Elyon. Elyon, who possesses it, the name of God, who possesses all the third heaven, the second heaven, the first heaven, the earth, and everything in the universe. He possesses it. And we will possess with him when he is our head and we are part of the body. And we take his faith and his word and believe it. And we become conquerors with him. He is the only mediator between man and God. You can't go to anyone else. There are mediums in Satan's system, and they're demons, and they have people on earth who talk to demons and then give messages to people. They did it in Greece. They did it in Rome. They did it in Egypt. They did it in Babylon. They did it in all. They'll do it again. Mediums. But there is only one mediator between God and man, and it's Jesus. We don't realize who he is. He is the king on Mount Zion. And Mount Zion represents the whole kingdom of God in the universe, the whole kingdom of God, Mount Zion. He is already crowned king, and he will come there to judge and to rule all the earth, and he will rule the new Jerusalem to come. And anyone who denies it is of the Antichrist. Six, he is king and ruler who died, and God raised him from the dead in resurrection, not reincarnation. Now listen now. Resurrection, not reincarnation. Once more. Resurrection, not reincarnation. On the third day, on a Sunday, Jesus was raised, resurrected into a new spiritual, Holy Spirit-given body. Eternal body that we eventually will receive ourselves. The reincarnation is taught in every one of the old kingdoms. I mean, it's taught in Babylon, in Egypt, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, Antichrist system, all. It's taught reincarnation, and reincarnation is, and that's what will happen, the Antichrist. It will appear, he comes back to life, and people will know. It's someone we will know, we will recognize. We will know him probably as a political leader, and he will die, and then it will appear he's coming back to life. Reincarnated. But reincarnation is a lie. But it'll cause a lot of people to believe, oh, this must be God. He's come back to life. And all kinds of religions teach reincarnation. 70 is the son and God, who God appointed heir of all things. Heir of everything. Yeah. I mean, all of the hosts of heaven. All the demons who fell. All Satan himself. I mean, all of the dark system. All of the third heaven, second heaven, first heaven. All of the earth. He inherits it. And he is the radiance of God's glory. This bright, shining radiance. I want to close with Ezekiel 10. I want to be sure to get there. Because he is the radiance of his glory. I'll say more about it. I want to get to closing with Ezekiel 10. He is the exact representation of the person. He is the exact representation of the person. And the Greek word for person is hypostasis, which means something standing under, to substantiate. And in the real physical world, we substantiate by the five senses. But in the spiritual world of Christ, of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is Jesus who is that person who substantiates all the spiritual truth and reality. Jesus himself, the person of Jesus. He is the exact representation of the Father. And in his person, who upholds all things by the word of his power, and who made purification for sins on the cross, and then sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He holds the world together. He made the world. He created the world. He holds the world together. The world would split. I mean, the atomic nuclear structure of cells, I mean, it's all held together by Jesus himself. The essence of all life is held together, created and then held together by Jesus. Now, I want to close with some verses in Ezekiel 1 and 10. The reason I close here tonight is this. This whole system will be defeated by Jesus heading the new, unified, empowered, purified body of Christ. And so, I end with some verses from Ezekiel 1 and then Ezekiel 10 tonight. Look at verse 19 of Ezekiel 1. And whenever the living beings, now, the living beings are described in Revelation. The living beings are described in Daniel. The living beings are described in Ezekiel. The living beings are not some weird creatures. You have to read the scriptures carefully. And I went over this again. I've gone over this many times, but I went over this again this afternoon. And it is very clear that the living beings who have four faces, and the wheels will read about who have four faces, are, the living beings, are the cherubim, the highest of the angelic beings. When I get to Ezekiel 10, verse 15 and verse 20, says specifically, I'll read one of them later, that the cherubim are the living beings. The cherubim, the highest of the angels. There is going to be a special angelic presence that is going to unify and purify and empower the whole body together. Never been anything like this. Never, we don't have anything to compare this to. It's never happened this way, but it will happen. And then the wheels, now, the wheels inside a wheel. The wheels are the new unified, purified body of Christ on the earth. The cherubim, the living beings, unite with the wheels. The wheels are the symbol of the church on the move. Totally unified. We'll see more about that in a minute. And wherever the living beings rose from the earth, the wheels rose. So the church is not going to be responsive to some denominational leadership. It's going to be responsive to Jesus and to the cherubim who are under Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. wherever the Spirit was about to go, they would go in that direction. And the wheels rose close beside them, for the Spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. That's the Spirit of the cherubim, was in the true church, the wheels. Are you with me? Now, go down to verse 22. Now, over the heads of the living beings. See, this is what is going to conquer this Antichrist system, people. This is what's going to conquer this Antichrist system. Not going to be man's devices. Not going to be man's organization. Even in the churches. No. It's God. It's heavenly originated. Now, over the heads of the living beings, there was something like an expanse, like an awesome gleam of crystal extended over their heads. Verse 25. And there came a voice above that expanse, above these living beings, above these cherubim, that was over their heads. Whenever they stood still, they dropped their wings. Now, above the expanse that was over their heads, there was something resembling a throne. Like the lapis lazuli in appearance, or it's like a sapphire stone. And on that which resembled a throne high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. And it was Jesus. It was Jesus. Then I noticed, see, Ezekiel is seeing all this. Then I noticed from the appearance of him, his loins and upward something like glowing metal that looked like fire all around it. Listen, we don't have to worry about global warming. We need to worry about Peter talks about and Hebrews talks about the fire that will cause the elements to melt with fervent heat. And the appearance of his loins downward, I saw something like fire, and it was a radiance of the throne itself, of the life of the throne of God itself. As the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so is the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice. Now, I won't read what the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit entered into Ezekiel and then spoke to him. Now, go to chapter 10. Here's where we'll end, chapter 10. Verse 9. Then I looked, and behold, four wheels beside the cherubim. All right, the cherubim are the living beings, and the four wheels beside them. One wheel beside each cherub. So there's a total unity between the cherub and the angelic beings, and the living beings. A total angelic unity. They see heavenly, there is a direct heavenly, and the cherubim are the highest of the angels. This is the highest rank of angels. Going to be directly involved. Directly involved. One wheel beside each cherub. And the appearance of the wheels light was like the gleam of a tarshish stone. Pure! The church is finally pure. Finally unified. Man. Finally pure. Finally unified. Finally one. All the people of the world. Every nationality. Every race. See, this is what men have tried to do. Only God can do this, people! Only God can do this! When you believe that we are going to solve the race issue, I want to promote things that will bring reconciliation of the races, but you are never going to eliminate all such feelings without God himself. And if you think so, you are arrogant, prideful, and there is an Antichrist spirit that's influencing you. As for their appearance, all four of them had the same likeness, as if one wheel within another wheel. Total unity. Here it is. Total unity. Oneness, total oneness. And when they moved, they went in any of four directions without turning. Without turning. They just, wherever. It was just like they had blinders. Wherever. No distractions. That's our problem. We got all kinds of worldly distractions. We got music coming in our ears. We've got noise. We can't get alone. Can't get along with God. And when they moved, they went in any of four directions without turning, and then they followed in the direction which they were faced, and without turning they went. They were single-minded. They were not distracted. They were single-minded. Single-eyed. Single-minded. We're double-eyed. We're double-minded. It stops the move of the Holy Spirit of God. And their whole body, the backs of their hands, their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes, will finally have knowledge, full knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit of God only. Full knowledge. And around the wheels belonging to four of them. The wheels were called in my hearing whirling wheels. On the move. Not saved, sanctified, and sitting. On the move. Not sitting in our sanctuaries. Not going through a service of an hour and a half, and going home, and then doing the same thing the next week. I'm not against that. But there's so much more that God has for all of His people. And each one of them had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub. There is the cherubim. There is the unity. And by the way, the living beings had four faces, and the wheels had four faces, and they had identical faces. They had identical character. They had identical character. Because the faces are indicating the character. And the cherub, that's the cherubim, the angelic influence. The second face, the face of a man. Bible says, John 10, ye are God's doing, the word of God came. When a man, when you and I take the word of God and get it in our hearts, you're God's. Small g. Psalm 82 says, you are Elohim. Same word for God. Small e. You are Elohim. When you take the word of God and act on the word of God and God moves through you, then you are one with God. The face of a lion. Jesus is a lion of the tribe of Judah. So Jesus' character. In judgment as he comes back. Then the face of an eagle. And the fifth sign in Capricornus originally was a sign of the royal eagle, Christ, who comes and destroys the serpent. The eagle had a special enemy, the serpent. And Christ comes. So two of these faces have to do with Christ himself. And then the angelic and then man is mixed in. Then the cherubim rose up. These are the living beings. There it is. There it is, verse 15. The cherubim are the living beings. And I saw them by the river Chebar. Now when the cherubim moved, the wheels would go beside them, and all the cherubim lift up their wings to rise from the ground, and the wheels would not turn from beside them. They followed every way. No, single-minded. No, they were not distracted. Immediate obedience. Total obedience. Total obedience of the Holy Spirit of God. Then, the glory of Yahweh himself, the glory that came into the temple when Solomon built it, and a cloud came and overwhelmed the priests and overwhelmed the people in the temple. That glory of God departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. The meaning of this is that God is removing from organized churches, the organized church, the denominational church. He's removing his glory. He's removing his power. He's placing it directly over the living beings, over the cherubim, over in other words, where Jesus is the only high priest, Jesus is the only king, and Jesus is the only one that we look to. Everyone in all the world can look to him. We don't have to worry about divisions. We don't have to worry about different cultures. We don't have to worry about different races. We don't have to worry about different traditions. Jesus alone. And the glory of the Lord stands there. And when the cherubim departed, they lifted their wings and rose up from the earth in my sight. With the wheels beside them. Now listen to where they went. Listen to where they went. And they stood at the eastern, at the entrance of the east gate of God's house. And the glory of the God of Israel hovered over them. Jesus is coming, splitting the eastern skies. He's going to march through the eastern gates of Jerusalem. And he will establish his kingdom on the earth. Praise God. I hope that you have followed what Ezekiel is saying. If you haven't, get into this. Read it, read it, read it, read it until the Holy Spirit makes it alive so that you know that you know. And the last verse for tonight. These are the living beings, the cherubim, that I saw beneath the God of Israel by the river Chebar, so I knew they were. The cherubim. Unity. Jesus, over the head, the head of all, then the cherubim, then the wheels. The wheels moving, moving, not distracted, single-minded. Where? The power of God finally flows fully because there's a total unity around the world. And there's a total harmony around the world and a total purity around the world. And God can release all of his power.